let me tell them, you're going to leave a different person, okay? You don't want to come and watch. That's when it becomes a concert, okay, or a show. You want to be like this, amen? And if you're a visitor, all this means is that you surrender, okay? When the police point a gun at you, you surrender. That's what this means. I'm give up, okay? Amen? Did you enjoy the short film that you watched? Amen, amen. Our video department makes all the films you see here. They are in videos. They are amazing. Our sound light video people are amazing. They do all of this for you. So let's give them a big hand for everything they do. Amen. Though that short film takes weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. So it's a lot of work to go into it to give you that experience so you can start thinking about how you're going to live your life. Are you going to live your life over? You can't go back. So let's live it right from here forward. All the messages that were in that video and all the videos you see. Take out your bulletin real quick. We want to make sure we highlight this app, the Life. Open it up and you'll see the flap on the right. How many of you, by a show of hands, would love to have a discipleship program tailor-made to you, where you are at in your spiritual walk? Anybody? Very good, very good. This is the opportunity for you to do that. It's also an opportunity for you to be connected to people who are where you are spiritually that can encourage you. You can encourage them. It's an opportunity for you to have a tool where you can send out messages to other people. This is it. And you may say, well, the church is big. Well, we have community groups, smaller groups, but we also have this. And this is something you could take with you, use anywhere you are in the world. Once you answer the questions, it'll tell you here the books you should read to grow in the areas where you need to grow or want to grow. Here's the videos, the sermons you should watch or listen to. So it's all there for you, tailor-made for you. So I want to encourage you when you leave here today to sign up, download the app, and let's do this together. Amen? Amen. And when you leave, the Ticatinas, they have CDs in the lobby. Go get one of the CDs. Amen? For all of you, how many of you heard the Ticatinas for the first time today? How many is your first time? Wow. Okay, very good. Those brothers are they're biological brothers, Samoan brothers, and they have, every Samoan I've ever met is their cousin, that's so they tell me. I'm just saying, I ain't gonna argue with the big fellas, you know what I'm saying? I've known them for 27 years, and Jesse, who sings here, he's 40, gonna be 40 this year. I met him when he was 13, so that's how long we go back with family. Those guys are faithful. I love them like brothers, so they're good people. Before we pray, I want to lift up Rick and Kay Warren. And if you haven't heard, he wrote a book called Purpose of Life, which sold more books than any book other than the Bible. Pastors of church, Saddleback, right up here in Orange County. His 27-year-old son took his own life 2 days ago, so we want to lift them up, pray for their family. They pastor the world. It's the best way to say it. I mean, he is a pastoral influence in the world. One of the most prominent pastors in the world. So we're blessed to have him so close to us. I know them personally very well. They are down-to-earth, regular, good people. They're going through a hard time now. So we want to pray for their family as they deal with what they're dealing with. Amen? Amen. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Thank you so much for the hope you give us beyond our worst nightmare. And I pray you bless the Warren family, that you encourage them, that you give them hope in this dark time. We thank you that you give us hope in our darkest times. And pray that you would challenge us today to live the life that you called us to live. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's see your Bibles tonight. Let's see your Bible. Say word. Word. One more time, say word. Word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. The book of Acts. Anybody not having a good day today? Anybody not having a good day today? Let me pray for you, young lady. Hey, how you doing? What's up? Book of Acts. Jesus died, rose from the dead. We acknowledged that last weekend. 40 days later, he has a meeting with his disciples, and he says, I'm getting ready to go to heaven, and I don't want you to do anything until I send the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the Holy Spirit is going to empower you to be my witnesses or representatives or ambassadors throughout the world, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Jerusalem was the city they were in, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And so we're going to read that, and then we're going to read what happens after that. Look at chapter 1, verse 8. It says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So here's what he's going to say. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and I'm not giving you the Holy Spirit for your purpose. I'm not giving you the Holy Spirit to do what you want. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit for my purpose, to be a witness to me everywhere, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, wherever I send you. So what God does is he calls Jews from Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. He calls them all to Jerusalem during Pentecost, which is a holiday. Peter preaches a sermon, and look what happens in chapter 2, verse 40. Chapter 2, verse 40 says, and with many other words, Peter testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word and were baptized, that day about 3,000 souls were added. So what Jesus said is, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to empower you to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And then what does he do? He brings people from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth all to Jerusalem, pours out the Holy Spirit on them, and 3,000 people get saved. And guess what they do? They go back to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Okay, turn to chapter 5. Chapter 5. They are preaching, they are healing people, and the Jews who are against Christianity are getting jealous and envious, and they are harassing the Christians, Jews who are now Christians, and they are arresting them, beating them, falsely accusing them, stirring up people to be against them. And look what it says in chapter 5, verse 17. It says, the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, and they were filled with indignation, jealousy, envy, or whatever. They laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, the angel of the Lord, or the angel of the Lord. Everyone say, Lord. Praise the Lord. The angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people the words of this life. Say the words of this life. Take a deep breath in and say life.
Life.
Exactly. That's the app we're talking about. Don't talk to them about the words of this life. Talk to them about the words of this life. We don't want you to live this life. We want you to live this life. What's the difference? This life is empowered, informed by God. This life is informed by culture. So when you see something happen, do you ask your friends what to do, or do you ask God? When your life starts to unfold, do you ask your friends and culture to interpret it, or do you ask God to interpret it? When something bad, good, or indifferent happens, do you ask God to interpret how to respond, or do you ask the world? He said, I want you to speak to those people the words of this life, what it means to walk with Jesus. Amen? Amen. L-I-F-E. Turn to chapter 17, verse 6. In this particular passage, the Apostle Paul is going around preaching. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. The Jewish leaders are getting jealous and envious, and they are stirring up people to come against Paul to try to stop him from propagating the gospel. Let me stop there. If you represent Christ, people will come against you. people are going to come against you no matter what you represent. But don't think when you got God, now it's going to get better. Okay? The devil doesn't like people who represent Christ. Especially if you decide to do something bold for Christ, he's going to come against you. But you have to understand, greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. So you have to say, devil, I get you, but God's bigger than you. You're not, but he is. So they go to a guy named Jason's house, Paul, and they are turning the city upside down. And look what it says in verse 6. When they did not find them, they dragged Jason out and some brethren to the rulers of the city. And they said, those men who have turned the world upside down have come here too. So Jesus said, I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be witnesses. 3,000 people get saved. They start being a witness. They get arrested. The angel says, go out and talk about the life. And then they come and dragging them out the house saying, these people turn the world upside down. What does that mean? That people's lives are changing. People who are addicted aren't addicted anymore. People whose marriages were being destroyed are now healed. People who are discouraged are now encouraged. People who are useless are now useful. And you would think, why would anyone not like that? Because it's spiritually motivated, and people don't like God. Why don't people like God? For a lot of reasons, but one of them is they don't want to be accountable, because if you acknowledge there's a God, now you got to acknowledge that there's something bigger than you you need to be accountable to. And as long as there's no God, I can do what I want. I heard a stat, I don't know where they get this stat, I don't know how it even exists, but I heard 23% of atheists don't, that 23% of atheists believe in God. Now, if you ask me, 100% of atheists believe there's a God. Because if there's no God, what are you fighting against? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what you're like, if there's nothing there to disprove, then you don't even need to disprove it. Because it's not there. Are you feeling what I'm saying? And so the reason they're fighting it so adamantly is because, this is my opinion, there is something there we don't want people to believe in. Well, if it's not there, and I'm talking about God, and even if kids in school are praying to God, and if God is not there, then nothing's going to happen. It doesn't mean anything. So why waste your time? Because spiritually, the devil knows there's a God. And he wants to convince people there isn't. Okay? So we're going to talk about the life. Everyone say life. Life. Let's spell it. Say L. Say I. Say F, say E. Very good. Four things. Then we're going to get into our notes here. Number one is L. God, it's in your notes. And this is all part of the app that we're going to have you download that I hope you do. Loving relationships. God has called us to loving relationships. You cannot and were not designed to live life alone. What I mean by that, I'm not talking about necessarily dating, marriage. I'm talking about developing a career by yourself. You can't do that. You can't grow as a Christian by yourself. You're not intended to do that. We are intended to live in the context of relationship. Matter of fact, when God created Adam and Eve, he created Adam first, and God said, it is not good that man be alone. It was the only thing God created that God said was not good. It was a man alone, and not with a date, but just a person by himself. You can't, because that person cannot fulfill the purpose for which man was created, which was to live in loving relationships. I have been asked 1,000 times by people, do you have to go to church to be a Christian? Or I've had this statement, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But when people ask me, do you have to go to church to be a Christian? I'll say to them, well, if a man is married and has 3 kids, does he have to live with his family to be a dad and a husband? You answer that question, I'll answer your question. It depends. If he wants to be a good dad, he needs to live with his wife, kids. If he wants to be a good husband, he needs to live with his wife. And by the way, not only does he have to live with them, he has to interact with them and love them, encourage them, and be involved in their life. That's the only way he's going to be a good dad and a husband, the best dad he can be. Now, some husbands who are divorced, can you still be a good dad? Yes, but the best scenario is when you're with your family. There's no doubt about it. And so coming to church is not about sitting in here listening to some songs and a preacher at all. That's not, it's about community. Relationship. People who can sharpen you like iron sharpens iron, who can challenge you, people you trust. people you meet who are on the same page as you in spiritually, and it can help you grow loving relationships. If you are trying to do it all by yourself, you're going to be like a coal taken out of the fire, sat outside of the barbecue, you're just going to die. But if you put it in with the other coals, you're going to stay hot. And so relationships. Impacting ministry. Look in your notes. Number two, it should say impacting ministry. Everyone say impacting ministry. Let me give you a very simple, simple, powerful example. How many of y'all go to Starbucks? Starbucks. How many of y'all go to In-N-Out? How many of y'all go to Jamba Juice? Let me say this. How many of y'all go to places where you see kind of the same people, not church, same people working behind a counter or at your gym or whatever, and school, same kids in the classroom? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You go someplace, right? Guess what? Imagine you go to Starbucks. How many of y'all been to Starbucks? This is an example. I'm assuming many of y'all been there, okay? And you order whatever you order, latte, frap, chat, chip, chap, whatever. And Starbucks has its own twang language. Can I help you? Can I get a frappuccino latte with foam? It's part of the reason why I don't go a lot, because I don't want that to kind of get on me. Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Amen. It's just that thing. Imagine if you go and you say to the girl you see all of the time, even if you don't see him all the time, you still could do this. You could say, look, is there anything I could pray for? Now, I know it's kind of awkward, and you don't want to be that guy like taking up all the time, making this big scene. You know, I want to pray for you. You know, just say, hey, if there's anything I can pray for, let me know. You get your thing. I say, they'll take your order. Okay. What's your name? They're right on the cup. Okay. You know. And then you go stand over your spot, wait for them to call you. Okay. Next time you come in, hey, is there any way I can pray for you? No, I'm good. They'll write your name on the cup. Okay. And you do that. Just keep doing it. Don't be a pest. Just throw it out there and chill. Throw it out and chill. Don't do machine gun. Just one bullet, boom. That's it. Then you go stand there, and then you leave, and, you know, then you leave. One day, you're going to go in, and you're gonna get your cup, and as you grab your cup, they're gonna grab the cup. And they're gonna go, can you pray for my mom? She's got cancer. Ah. Now we're talking. Now I know some of y'all thinking, what am I gonna do? Simple. How many of y'all can talk? You can pray. So simple. I was in Chicago Airport. Now, to understand Chicago Airport, how many of y'all have never been to Chicago Airport? Okay. San Diego Airport is the lobby of Chicago Airport. I want to explain something to you. Atlanta Airport, Chicago Airport, Dallas Airport, I am not exaggerating, are the size of downtown. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. They are ginormous. Denver Airport, ginormous. They're measured in square miles. I am not exaggerating. They're ginormous. So the Chicago Airport, thousands and thousands of people in this one hallway, and there's many hallways. So I'm standing there, thousands of people walking by, thousands, literally. And I'm plugging my phone, and they got a whole wall of all these plugs to charge your phone and computer. So I'm standing there charging my phone, and this guy walks up, and I can't remember exactly what happened, but we ended up next to each other almost on the same plug. So I'm like, okay, God, you sent him to me. You got him right here. He's stuck. I'm stuck here. So we're going to talk. And guess what we're going to talk about? God. So we start talking about God. And make a long story short, I said, do you want to accept Christ right now? He goes, yes. So here's what I did. I said, look, you don't need to dye your head and close your eyes. I know that may be awkward for you. So here's what I want you to do. I just want you to look me in the eye. Look in my eyes. You are getting sleepy. Repeat after me. Dear God, this happened. People walking by. Thousands. Delayed, flights are delayed. All the planes stopped when this happened. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. We did the sinner's prayer right there, just like this. Hear you in Starbucks, hand on cup, and my mom has got cancer. What's her name? Mary. Lord, I pray you bless Mary and encourage her daughter right now in Jesus' name. You can do that. Let's do it right. Let's do it. Look at me. Look at me. Let's do it right now. Let's do it right now. You online. Say this with me out loud. Say, dear God, please bless Mary and comfort her daughter right now in Jesus' name. Cluck, 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 cluck. When I was in college, you know how every generation has these little sayings you have, and you know, boom, y'all got boom, right? So when I was in college, we made it this thing. We go, cluck, cluck. So something would happen, and we go, cluck, cluck. It's like blah now. That was our version of blah now. So you can do that. How many of y'all can do that? That's ministry. You just gave someone hope. You just connected someone to God. You may have just performed a miracle. What I mean by that, God could, boom, heal that lady. You don't know until you try. I was in Mexico, and this little girl had deformed ears. And what I mean by that, she had two, you have an ear canal where you have an eardrum at the end. She had two. She had deformity, and the doctor brought me over. The church I was with had a crusade, and they had medical clinics, and the doctor brought me over and said, look at this, and I walked away, and the Lord said, you need to go over there and pray for her. In the Bible, there's a story where Jesus puts his hand in someone's eyes and ears and prays, and they get healed. So God said, I want you to do that. I was like, I don't know, God. He said, I want you to go do that. I said, okay. So I went over, and I prayed. I walked away. The doctor called me over and said, her ears are healed. Yeah, I'm not a healer. I've been used to heal some people, but I'm not a healer, but it happened. You do not know. And that is very simple for you to do. Let's do it one more time. I'm just going to give you practice, because tomorrow, God, something's going to happen tomorrow. And see, I'm marching right now. See that? You ever see people march when they start laughing? Oh, snap. How many of y'all seen that before? Okay. And then it's real funny. They're like, they start running around like that. Okay. So I get excited. So here's what I'm challenging you. I want to challenge you tomorrow. Lord, bring someone into my life. This is so simple. Look me in my eye. Say, dear God. Everybody, say, dear God. Please bless Jimmy. Give him wisdom. Give him peace. Give him joy. You can go all day to the break of dawn saying all these things, right? Encourage him. In Jesus' name, amen. Cluck, cluck. How many of y'all can do that? You can. Tomorrow, tonight, practice on the person you're with right now. When you go out there, just look at them. Just, dear Lord, and you know this person. You can, this is your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your wannabe girlfriend, your wannabe boyfriend, the person you just broke up with, the person that gets ready to kill you, whoever it is. Say it to yourself in the mirror. Say it to yourself in the mirror, okay? Ministry, F in life is faithful stewardship. Faithful stewardship means that you are properly managing all the resources God has given you. That means your intelligence, your relationships, your resources, your talents. Some of you are teachers and you're not teaching. Some of you are encouragers and you're not encouraging. Some of you are counselors and you're not listening. Some of you are givers and you're not giving. God has given you resources. I have a theory, my opinion about something. My opinion means what? Very good. My opinion is this, that when people die for one or two reasons, this is just my opinion, that they die because one, they have completed what God called them to do. Two, that God figured they're never going to get around to it. I could be wrong. God says, I'm giving you all of this and for one purpose, to be a witness to me. What does that mean? That when people experience you, when they see you, when they hear you, they experience me. That's why. I wrote a book called God in the Mirror. In 2 weeks, I'm going to start a series called God in the Mirror. We're going to give you all one for free, by the way, a book. And the whole point of the book is that God made us in his image, so when he looked at us, it'd be like he was looking in the mirror. He wants to see himself in us. And he made us that way. Okay? So E, evangelizing the lost. Say, evangelize the lost. All of us know lost people that we are not praying for. You know people who would die. If they die today, they go to hell, but you're not praying for them. You're not inviting them to church. You're not encouraging them. And sometimes you're not being a good witness to them. Imagine if you had loving relationships. Imagine if you had impactful ministry. Imagine if you were faithful steward of all that God has given you to manage. And imagine if you were evangelizing the lost. One, this place would not be able to hold the people that God would use you. And two, this city would never be the same. The county would never be the same. That is our passion to make happen. That is our passion. I'm going to give you a little. Last week we had, a couple of pastors took a projector and a screen. And we had five services last Sunday, Easter, every Sunday. They took it, one 8 o'clock service, they took it to a mission and showed the message. And about 80 or 100 people were in the mission. About 15 got saved. Then they left there for the 10 o'clock service and went to a bar. And they were in a bar, 10 o'clock service and 12 o'clock service. They had 15 people in the first 10 o'clock service. A guy was walking down the street, heard the sermon in the bar, came in, and he got saved. 8 o'clock, the 12 o'clock service, there were six people there, and one guy got saved. In both instances, these people stood up in the bar and walked to the front of the bar and got saved. Okay? Come on. Then at night, at 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock, they took the screen and the computer with the projector and the speakers and went to San Diego State and had two services at San Diego State, and they had 70 people in one service and 50 people in another service. Just portable, two guys. Okay, listen. I want you to, would you imagine this? Let's say it's a three-person team, hypothetical. I don't know what it is, but once we get this dialed, then we're going to let you know. This is a three-person team. I would love to have 100 bars. 100 bars with the sermon in it right now, in the morning, Sunday morning, 100 bars around San Diego. Why not? People get saved. What does that got to do with you? We need people. You could do that. We could raise you up to do that. What do you do? You plus play. They watch the worship. They watch the sermon. They get saved. You give them a book. You give them a follow-up. We teach you how to do it. Boom, we can deploy 100. 200 of those things all around San Diego. Boom, set it up. Why not? Because we can. But people need to say, I'm available. Okay? You. Amen? That's what we think about day and night. Day and night. Day and night. How do we get more people? I want you to imagine this dude walking down the street. I haven't met the guy. I don't know his story. He's walking down the street and he hears something in a bar. And I don't know the guy, don't know what he said, but he goes in the bar. Oh, I get another drink. And he goes in the bar. And he goes, I need Jesus. There are so many people right now in your life who need God, and you are doing nothing about it. Let's do something about it. Amen? Okay, three things. Look in your notes. Number one, you need a Barnabas. This is the type of relationships we're going to encourage you to get. A Barnabas. Everyone say Barnabas. Turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 26. A Barnabas is someone who encourages you. In other words, you're trying to grow in your faith. Who is teaching you? And I do not count. I'm talking about someone in your life you call up, someone you spend time with, someone who explains stuff to you. Who is that person? Now, by the way, you could have five Barnabases. You could have one for your education, one for your career, one for your finances. I'm just... We're not looking for one super person that does it all for you, because there is no such person. But who is your spiritual Barnabas if you're trying to live the life that God wants us to live? Who's the person helping you? Look what it says in chapter 9, verse 26. When Paul, the apostle Paul, got saved, the disciples in Jerusalem didn't trust him because he was killing Christians before he got saved. And look what it says in verse 26. When Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him and did not believe he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him in and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and how he had spoken to him and how Paul preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Who is the person in your life that can help you grow? How many of y'all dating in here? Anybody? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Some of y'all are like, I'm not sure. Are we dating? I know you've been trying to hold my hand all night, but I don't know what's up with those. How many of y'all, either you are or you might be, just raise your hand real high. Very good. There we go. Yeah, okay, it might be. How much can I want to be? I want to be dating. Who is teaching you how to date? Oh, man, I don't need nobody to teach me. I got this. You choke holding your woman like she's on jail, something like that. When my wife and I, when I was a youth pastor, we had these teenagers, and I had started Bible study at my house with these teenagers, and we used to go on dates with them. Not for real, it'd be my wife and I, and then a couple of teenagers and their girlfriend and boyfriend, and we'd say, here's how you do this. Here's what you don't do. Who is teaching you how to date? Don't think you don't need help. Every other person who gets married gets a divorce. And then the ones who stay, some of them are jacked up. Really, why? Because they don't know how to do it. That's why. And you're no different. You need help. So who's helping you? Who's helping you learn how to read this book? Who's helping you learn how to pray? If you can't write someone's name down, write a couple people that you would like to help you, and if not, pray that God puts someone in that spot, because if no one's coaching you, you ain't going to grow as much as you could if you were being coached. Okay? If everybody around you, or if nobody around you represents where you want to go, you probably will not get there. If you're trying to grow in your faith and everybody around you is non-Christian, dropping F-bombs every other sentence, you're probably not going to grow in your faith. If you're trying to get in shape, lose weight, and everybody around you eats bonbons for breakfast, you probably ain't going to get in shape. Okay? Number two, who is your Silas? Your Silas is the person that is your peer. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so another man or woman sharpens another man or woman. In other words, someone in your life that can jam you up and get in your face, that you trust and love, that is your peer, that can say, hey, man, you need to stop doing that. Or have you thought about this? And vice versa. People in your life that you say, you know, I trust you with everything. I can. Who are those people in your life? And by the way, these are people who love God. I'm not saying that the people who don't love God can't be that to you, but someone who is going to confront you with this, okay? Some of my, and I have several of these people, but some of them are, for me, pastors who we sharpen each other with this or ministry stuff. And then I have other peers who aren't pastors, but we're still peers, and we talk about other things. But who in your life, who do you have in your life who is like right here? Your brother, your sister, you go through pain with. Look at Acts chapter 16. Acts 16. Paul had Silas. Everyone say Silas. Barnabas was a son, basically Barnabas' name was a son of encouragement. And then Silas was his peer, and they ministered together. They led people to the Lord together. They were arrested together. They were beat in prison together. And then after they were beat and arrested for doing ministry, this is what they did together. In verse 25, chapter 16, it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God together. Those guys went through it together. You go through stuff like that together, oh, God unites your heart. Who are you doing that with? Who are you doing ministry with? I'm going to give you a novel idea that you would get somebody as you appear and say, let's go do some ministry. Let's go serve and clean something up in the city that we do all the time. Let's go join one of these ministries together. Let's go help somebody together. Let's go mentor some kids. I did not grow up fatherless. I did not grow up parentless. I had both my parents in my house. So I can't relate to that. But I can tell you what, I know it ain't good. Imagine if you mentored a kid who never had a dad. You have any idea what a big deal that would be? Or you mentored a young lady who never had a dad. You have any idea? Huge. Huge. Bigger than you can know. Do that. Matter of fact, that's my next one, number three. Who is your Timothy? Timothy, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Back of the Bible, 1 Timothy. First Timothy, chapter 1. Bless you. Everyone say Barnabas? That's the person that is encouraging you and is your mentor. Silas, say Silas. Your peer. Say Timothy. The person you're raising up. The young person you're raising up. Who's the person you're pouring into who doesn't know as much as you? Well, I'm only 25. There are people who are 21. Do you remember when you were 16? How many of y'all are 16, by the way? Anybody? Yeah, we got some 16. How many? You're 16?
Yeah.
Wow. What school you go to?
High
Tech High, right across the street.
No.
Oh, okay. How many of y'all are 20-something? 30-something? How many of y'all are over 20? Okay. Here we go. You remember when you were 16? Did you ever meet somebody who was 25? I remember meeting someone 25, which I think is the best age in the world. 25 years old. And I was like, you all remember that? Yes or no? I was like, oh, if I met a girl who was 25, I was like in love. I'll marry you right now. You know what I'm saying, right? If a girl 25 said your first name, not for real. If a girl 25 says your first name, you're like in love. Can I get amen, fellas? Especially she says it with a little. You just swear she's like all about you now. She ain't thinking about you. But you want that. You want her to be thinking about you. Can you imagine if you're 20-something or how old you are investing in someone 16, 17? And you take an interest in them, change their life. Look what 1 Timothy says, chapter 1, verse 2. Well, look at verse 1 and 2. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. And then it says, to Timothy, a true son in the faith. Paul led Timothy to the Lord, discipled him, and placed him in a church as a pastor. Son in the faith. Who is your son or daughter in the faith? Who are you helping? Well, I'm only 21. Like I said, there is someone who knows nothing about what you do. You can help somebody. How many of y'all, by a show of hands, have a problem in your life right now? Just some issue. Raise your hand real high. Okay, keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. I want you to look around the room, and I want you to realize you're not alone. Keep your hand up, please. How many of you have a problem that's a little overwhelming? All your problems are overwhelming. You're not alone. How many of y'all ever thought, no one understands my problem. I'm all by myself. You're just like everybody else. I have a way for you to get rid of that problem. How many of y'all would like to get rid of that problem today? Yeah, look at y'all. Okay, here it is. You're not going to like it. You may not like it. One way to get rid of a problem is to get a bigger problem. Un momento. One way to get rid of a problem is to get a bigger problem. And one of the ways to get a bigger problem than yours that will get you distracted from your problem is to help somebody else. Some of you ladies, my boyfriend cheated on me. That's a problem. but you knew he was a dog 3 years ago. When you met him, your girlfriends told you he was flirting with them. And you still went out with him because he had all his teeth. That's not a reason to go out with somebody. All the ladies in the house, say hey if you know what I'm talking about. And you stayed with him. Now, you want to, now, trust me, that is a problem, but you know one way to get rid of that problem? Why don't you go over there and talk to that young lady who just got raped? You don't have money? You're worried about how you're going to pay your rent in 3 weeks? Go talk to that mom who has three kids. Her husband just left her. She's actually running from her husband who abuses her, and she has nowhere to stay tonight. And she doesn't know how she's going to feed her children tonight. She ain't worried about herself. Talk to her. My point is that a lot of times your problems are bigger than you think because you make them big. A couple friend of mine had a stillborn baby. The doctor told him, you need to see the baby. They said, we don't want to see the, you need to see the baby, because if you don't see the baby, you will create something worse in your mind than what's reality. And so the problems that you have, they are not as big as you think. And they are way overrated. 80% of what you worry about never happens, give or take. And 20% that does happen, it's not as bad as you think. And you can't do anything about it anyway. It's going to happen. But if you trust God, God's going to turn it into a, God's going to turn what you think is bad into something good. And so my point is this, go help somebody. When we had the Good Friday the other day, down at the park, what a perfect opportunity for you to mingle with a bunch of homeless people whose lives are a mess. I mean, there was, we fed 1,100 meals of homeless people, and we were just walking around, just surrounded by, just touching people, talking to people, hearing their story, and to see, God, you've blessed me. I need to help somebody. That there are a lot of people who are hurting beyond what you can ask or what you can imagine. I met a young lady who was in my youth group 20-something years ago, now living on the street. Three kids, pregnant with the fourth child. Broke my heart. Go help somebody. This right here, this is like Disneyland. We're, I mean, this is great. God bless us with a place. We're having a great time, blah, blah, blah. And this is the easiest part of the week. But when we leave here, man, if God can use you, and by the way, let me say this and then we're going to pray. If the more God can use you, the more you're going to grow. You are not going to grow isolating yourself and just coming here and say, oh, just entertain me, give me something good. That is the, that's the least you're going to grow if that's all you do. But if you go out there and put it to action, let me tell you something. You go out there and put it to action, you will grow like this. And when you see God moving through you in a powerful way, you're like, God, I want more, I want more, I want more. And you see people's lives being changed, boom, 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 boom. The first person I ever led to the Lord in my ministry life, I don't remember what happened before this particular day, but this started me in full-time ministry, was a Filipino 16-year-old kid who was my next-door neighbor. Any Filipinos in here? Yeah, kamusta ka? Kamusta ka? And I told you the story before, but he got saved, and I just called him in the house. I had never met him. I called him in the house because his brother got arrested, and he was sitting in his car, and I called him in the house, and he got saved. I was like, man, that was quick, easy. I said, go get your sister. He went and got his sister. She was 14, 13, doing crystal. Pimples, she was scratching. She was like 80 pounds. She would literally stand at my door and scratch. She was real hyper. She got saved. She's now 40-ish. She still goes to church here. We're talking about, hey, can I tell you something? That was it. Can I tell you something? You can do that. You can. So we're going to pray. Then someone's going to come out and pray again. Let's do it. It's all late. You're late. You're late. Okay. One, uno, dos, tres. Very good. Come on out. He's going to pray for us. Here's my encouragement to you as we close. Three things. Number one, sign up for the app. Number two, bring a friend next week. Amen? And number three, listen to what he has to say.
Amen.
Bete.
You got some good homework this week, huh? Right on. My name is David Williams. I'm one of the pastoral support team members. I'm also one of the leaders of the Rock Church's singles ministry.
You know what that means.
Yeah, love you, man.
Trying to hook a brother up, you know what I'm saying? opportunities.
Thank you. Can everybody hold up your offering envelopes? Everybody say tithe. At the back of the church, there are some little metal boxes. You guys can drop these in those boxes, please. And if you're online, you can press the give button. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace. Thank you, God, for giving us, Lord Jesus Christ, opportunities to be available for your Holy Spirit to pour into other people. We pray, Lord Father, that we would answer the call to do that which you've asked us to do. We pray, Lord, also for these tithes, that, God, your purpose for the Rock Church and this pervasive hope campaign will be fulfilled. We love you so much, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this opportunity. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At the back of the, like I said, at the back of the church, there's exits. You drop these in there. We have pastoral support team members here to pray for you right now. God bless you. Have a good week.